Pushkin.
Nerds! When it comes to finding the best financial products, have you ever wished someone would do the heavy lifting for you? Take all that research off your plate? Me too. Let me introduce NerdWallet's 2025 Best of Awards. The nerds already did the heavy lifting, reviewing over 1,100 financial products like credit cards, savings accounts, and more to bring you only the best of the best. Check out the 2025 Best of Awards today at nerdwallet.com/awards. LinkedIn will help connect you with professionals you can't find anywhere else, even people who aren't actively looking for a new job. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking at LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. Hire professionals like a professional. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gladwell. That's linkedin.com/Gladwell to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
We're back, bringing this thing in for a landing. I think we can now all agree it's not just the law that changed when the U.S. allowed states to legalize sports gambling back in 2018. An entire region of the American brain has been wiped clean and replaced with new software. Somehow, sports gambling went from this slightly naughty activity you had to go out of your way to engage in to smack dab in the center of American culture. It's very obviously overrun American colleges. It's less obviously overrun American high schools, too.
What happened to one of my friends was that one of his friends tried to abandon this bookie, and then he sent him his house address.
Oh, my God.
Which he'd never given to him. He just tracked his IP address from how he was placing bets.
That's Andrew Mitchell, now a college junior. But remembering his high school gambling ring and a bookie on Snapchat named Foco. He's talking to LJ, my producer, who ran down so many similar stories from boys all over the country that she no longer asked them whether their high school has a sports gambling ring. Instead, she asked them, who runs it? Andrew, she found in upstate New York.
So there's kind of this informal insurance that it's really just a threat to kids that I don't know how much you can do with the house address or what the stakes actually would have been, but it's a pretty scary thing when you're already doing something you know is illegal and then you get sent your address after you try to pull a fast one on someone. My high school is just like one part of it. I know in the public schools in our area, there were huge betting rings where kids were losing so much money and betting so much money.
It occurred to me that Andrew's old problem is my new one. I have a 17-year-old son. His name is Walker. At some point, I'd need to have the talk with him. Now, I say this as someone who is not a big fan of having the talk. I didn't really want to have the talk with him about sex back in the day, but that was all right. Because in middle school, he had an entire class on the subject that went into such graphic detail, I had to keep my eyes covered with a pillow. I did say something to him like, anything you want to know about sex, just ask me. Of course, he never did. He's way too smart. The gambling talk is different than the sex talk, and maybe more necessary, because his school doesn't have a class called Sports Gambling Education. Plus, there's no generally accepted body of knowledge on the subject. So I wasn't even clear in my own head what this talk should consist of. I mean, apart from telling him how dumb it is to hand your lunch money to DraftKings. That would only make him want to do it more. Even if somehow I knew exactly the right thing to say to inoculate my child against this new threat to his well-being, or at least prevent him from being kneecapped by some bookie, he'd be unlikely to listen. In my experience, if you want your 17-year-old to listen to you, you have to say something that could be used against you in the court of law. Then they hear every word you say and record it for future use by the prosecution. And so while I saw that I needed to have the talk, I also realized that the talk was pointless. Walker was already too old, too dismissive of me. I had to find some other way to teach my son the tools he needs to navigate a world in which sophisticated corporations will try to lead him to his ruin. Anyway, that's my excuse for why I did what I did next.
Okay, let me give you guys the assignment formally, which is that Michael's going to give you guys $5,000 and you can spend it however you want on sports betting, but you're supposed to win. Like, you're supposed to make more.
That's always the goal, right?
Yes.
That's Walker, who, by the way, in his English class the other day, asked the 25 other kids for a show of hands. Who here is a sports gambler? All the boys except one, though zero of the girls, raised their hands. Even though all of them were under the age of 18, and sports gambling is still illegal in California. Anyway, I love him, even if he doesn't listen to me. His immune system is like the immune system of all teenage boys. What I want to create in him, I think of as a vaccine. I'm going to hand him a sum of money that'll get his attention, for him to use to bet on sports. He can keep the winnings. But there won't be any winnings, of course. Just humiliation. The humiliation will create the antibodies. I won't be directly involved. If I were, he wouldn't be as interested. My producers will supervise his education and record it.
When should you start?
I'm ready to go right now.
I think you're supposed to have, like, a learning period, is, like, what Michael was envisioning.
So there's actual skill to it.
Are you asking that?
I guess. I was walking into this hoping it was just like, I don't know. I'm walking into this hoping to learn, but I doubt. I mean, you see people winning, but like, I don't know.
That's the wrong attitude.
And that's Tom, not his real name. We've also disguised his voice because, well, I don't want to get Tom into any trouble. He's a good kid, 3 years older than Walker, and now a student at a very fancy college. But he and Walker used to play basketball together, and Walker really likes him. I roped Tom into this experiment, mainly because he'd been gambling on sports since he was in high school. And I thought whatever he's learned might rub off on Walker. But as it turns out, the main thing that Tom learned was how to evade the laws that forbid children from gambling on sports.
There's an app that I use called Fliff, and I don't know exactly what the rules are around it, but I know that legally on that app I can use it because... Well, I had to submit that a picture of my driver's license, and then I had to say that I was from California.
Yes, if you're a teenager who wants to lay down $5,000 of your dad's money on sports, you don't even need an illegal bookie anymore. You might not be able to get an account with DraftKings or FanDuel, but you can get onto any one of a number of shady gray market apps. Fliff turns your money into Fliff Cash, and gambling with Fliff Cash somehow makes it all legal. But since you can turn your Fliff Cash back into dollars, it's hard to see why.
Cool. And I asked you this before, kind of. How you thought you were going to do?
I hope to, like, plus 5 to 10%. I guess I'll set my expectation at plus... I think
go big.
Plus 200%.
Plus 200%?
Yeah, that's the move.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my goal. That's my goal.
Their goal is to turn $5,000 into 15. My goal is for them to learn the insanity of their goal. I think my goal is admirable. But I do have a sense that not everyone in my house agrees. Confirmed when my producer, Catherine Girardeau, investigates.
So I understand Michael has been encouraging Walker to engage in sports betting. And I wanted to talk to you about how you feel about that.
The idea is that Walker will be exposed to sports betting and get guided through the process so he understands the wins as well as the losses, since that probably happens more often than not.
That's Walker's mother, my wife, Tabitha.
And it's supposed to be a learning experience. That's the glasses half full version.
And what's your perspective on that?
I'm not an expert in all teenage boys, but from the anecdotal information I have from other mothers with teenage boys, I think that the attraction and the addiction to the dopamine response that you get from video games is a complete parallel to the addiction response to sports betting. So to me, that is not a good thing to encourage. I hope that he walks away from it feeling like it's not something he wants to partake in, but I can't control that. He's almost 18, and he doesn't listen to a word I say.
When our son won't listen to my wife, she often turns to me and says, "Can you please talk to him?" As if his unwillingness to listen to her somehow implies a desire to listen to me. As I say, it doesn't. My son won't listen to me either. But maybe you will. Since I'm Michael Lewis, and this is Against the Rules. So I've set my child loose in the sports gambling markets with $5,000. I've told him that I'm leaving him to figure it out for himself, but that if he wants help, I know some experts he can call. Because here's another funny thing about trying to teach your 17-year-old son anything. He might not listen to a word you say, but so long as you are nowhere in sight, he will listen to your friends. I don't know why this is, but it's true. I gave Walker a phone number for Rufus Peabody. Rufus is the pro sports gambler who starred in some of our earlier episodes. What makes Rufus great as a teacher of child gamblers is that even though he's made millions gambling on sports, he doesn't think gambling on sports is a noble way to spend your life. What makes Rufus less great as a teacher of child gamblers is that he's worried about breaking the law.
Sports betting is not legal in California.
How the fuck am I using Fliff then?
Because Fliff isn't sports betting. That's what they claim. It's a sweepstakes.
Oh my God.
I know. It's yeah.
And kids are allowed to do it or whatever. Why is there so much? Why was I allowed to put my own money from my bank account in the app?
Because you don't have to be what? You don't have to be 21. You only have to be 18.
I'm 17. I guess,
right? Wait, really?
Yeah.
They like, that's fucked up. That's
yeah.
But didn't you need to put your social security in, Walker? Your social security number?
I don't even know it. I don't know my social security number.
It was at that point you can almost hear Rufus make one of his expected value calculations. He's working out that the expected value of taking a minor on a sports gambling journey in a state where sports gambling is illegal is negative.
LJ, I'll connect you with Captain Jack. Have you talked to him in the past or no?
No, I don't know him.
I think this is right in his wheelhouse.
And with that, Rufus passed Walker and Tom off to another sports gambler. Someone called Captain Jack.
So, I mean, off the bat, I'll let you guys know that like 98% of sports bettors don't make money in the long run.
And that's Captain Jack.
It's very easy to go on like Twitter, X, and find somebody that says they are winning 80% of the time. And you go, okay, I'll just follow this guy. Most of those people aren't. In fact, I would say all of those people aren't winning 80% of the time, because truth of the matter is it's very tough to win 55% of the time, and 55% isn't sexy. So they're not trying to sell you 55%. They try to sell you some unattainable number.
Captain Jack tells them some stuff that listeners to this season already know. Why, in order to make money gambling on sports, you need to make it even more miserable than an ordinary job. How the professional gambler needs to constantly scour all the world's sports books in search of odds that are out of whack. Captain Jack was inadvertently raising some obvious questions for the teenage sports gambler.
Is it possible to make money just off of one site, like Fliff?
With Fliff, it's possible because Fliff isn't the sharpest sports book in the world. You can find edges at Fliff.
Just for us, like, how do you recommend us trying to find these edges? How do you recommend us looking for these?
There are situations that's called arbitrage, where you're guaranteed to win.
Captain Jack explains that you can win systematically at sports gambling only by having either better information or better ways to analyze the information. But there is one exception. If you can find different prices for exactly the same bet at different sports bookies, then buy the low one and sell the high one.
But you guys only have one out. You guys only have Fliff. So you're not going to find a situation where you can bet both sides of the game at Fliff.
Do you maybe, I feel like it'd be possible for us to, like, I don't know, use someone who is out of state, or not even out of state, but just like says they're out of state and is above the age of 21 to like get onto all these
So most of these are regulated books in other states, and they all use geolocation software that makes sure you are geographically in the state that you say you are. So it's tough to fool them.
Couldn't you just use a VPN?
No. These use basically like location services on your phone, which actually knows where you are.
Really?
For a site like FanDuel or DraftKings or Caesars, BetMGM, ESPN Bet, they definitely put a lot of attention into geolocation because they would be violating the Federal Wire Act to allow people to bet across state lines. So they take it pretty seriously.
Yeesh. I sense we're a little fucked.
I sense we're a little fucked. That's my child, doing me proud. Seeing the world as it is, rather than how he would like it to be.
One word of advice is you probably do not want to create a audible record of you guys violating federal law.
Yeah, I still have to get into college.
Don't. It's not worth it.
They're not going to violate the Federal Wire Act. They'll just use FLIF. And then do what the vast majority of other sports gamblers do. Which means that every bet they make will be less likely to win than to lose. For this reason, Captain Jack thinks they should just make one giant bet and be done with it. Put the entire wad of my $5,000 on a single game, or even a single player, and live with the results. Maybe they'll get lucky. But before he waves them goodbye, Captain Jack does offer one tiny glimmer of hope.
Different types of sports betting are easier to beat than other types of sports betting. So if you were to go onto the FLIF app and you were to pull up a baseball game for tonight, you could bet on which team will win. You could bet on how much they'll win by. You could bet on the total runs scored in the game. But then you can also bet on player performance in the game. How many strikeouts the pitcher will have. How many hits a certain player will have. Will this player hit a home run or not? Those are called prop bets. And those prop bets are far easier to beat than how many total runs are going to be scored or which team is going to win. So for you guys, I would focus on those prop bets, player performance. It's also more fun.
Are there greater than prop bets? Like getting an exact prop bet, like having like Caitlin Clark score like 8 threes in a game seems pretty exact. Is there like four or more?
Yes, exactly. They're usually Caitlin Clark over under 2.5 3-pointers in the game. Yeah.
Okay.
It's over unders. In fact, the exact ones are very hard to hit. That was a good example, Walker. The average sports bettor loves to see things happen, okay? So they tend to bet overs. So there's usually a little more value in the under than the over, but in your brain, you're always going to be wired because you want to see things happen. Nobody likes to root for an under. They don't like to root for like, no, 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 don't get a hit. No, 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 don't get a strikeout. They tend to like to see things happen. So try to find value in some unders.
Find value in the unders. That's it. That's all they got. That and five bands.
This year at Pushkin, we've been able to work with some of the world's biggest brands on creating bespoke content. Whether it's a custom episode in partnership with a brand or a creative ad campaign, we want to be sure that our content reaches people. But the ad space is incredibly noisy. How do we ensure our content reaches the right audience? That's where LinkedIn ads come in. With LinkedIn ads, you can precisely reach professionals who are more likely to find your ad relevant, as you will have direct access to a billion members, 130 million decision makers, and 10 million C-level executives. You can target your audience by job title, industry, company, and more, ensuring your ads reach the right people for your business. Start building the right relationships and reach your audience in a respectful environment with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next LinkedIn ads campaign. Go to linkedin.com/Malcolm to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/Malcolm. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/stereo. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/stereo.
Okay, guys.
Bad credit can lead to a lot of no's. Buying a new house, car, applying for rewards cards. Kickoff can turn them into yeses. If your credit is under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. Kickoff is the best way to build credit fast. No credit checks, no hidden fees, and no interest. It's simple. Kickoff optimizes key credit factors. Credit bureaus see good behavior, and your credit grows fast. Start building credit now for only $1 for your first month at getkickoff.com/iHeartPodcast. That's kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/iHeartPodcast. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/iHeartPodcast to activate offer. Offer applies to new customers first month only, subject to approval. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Point stat based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0. Changes for kickoff users starting under 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Individual results may vary.
I'm kind of annoyed that we're in California, because now we really can't game the system.
I don't know. I guess what I was thinking is like, well, when he said like the $5,000 and like one bet,
yeah,
just like going for it, like that's
like put it all
sick.
In red.
But then he was also like, you can't do that with Flip because you only bet like 200, 250 bucks at once.
But then if we win, we're like, double is cool, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We can claim its skill as well.
Yeah. And then we can start our own like masterclass.
People will come to us.
A masterclass for teenage sports gamblers. You don't have to have the talk. You can just plop your kid down in front of a masterclass. Now that's an idea. Your teenager might not listen to you any more than mine listens to me. But if they were to stumble online across a masterclass or a podcast very like this one, who knows? Maybe they learn something. Maybe it would save them. But what would you want your child to know?
I think a lot of people look at sports betting as you're betting into a machine. You're betting into the computer. The computer's on the other side, you know, the software, the sports betting software's on the other side of the bet, right? But the any gamble, any bet takes two sides. And somebody's on one side of the bet, and somebody else or some entity's on the other side of the bet.
In my own masterclass on teenage sports gambling, this guy would be front and center. His name is Matt Davidow. He's a professional sports gambler who co-wrote what amounts to the industry's founding text, The Logic of Sports Betting. Captain Jack actually recommended it to Walker and Tom, but I don't think they read it. They were too busy betting the unders.
The reality is that somebody, whether it's a trader whose ego or job or bonus is on the line, or an actual person with their own money is, you know, on the line, that's who you're playing against them. You need to be better than the other player. It's the same as poker. It's the same as the financial markets.
Yeah.
And these other players often know things that you don't know.
Correct.
That's Ed Miller, Matt's co-author, who oddly went to the same high school I went to in New Orleans.
Here are the two things I think are true about sports betting. One is that there are people who are trying to win, and they have different ways of winning. They have something going on when they put a bet down.
There. Yeah. So there's a lot of information in the prices.
Yes.
And the prices are dynamic.
Correct.
Here's the first masterclass tip, and it sounds deceptively simple. Anytime anyone offers you a bet or a trade or an item for sale or even a night of passion, they have some reason for offering it. And you may be wholly unaware of whatever they know that you do not. The fancy name for this is adverse selection. A market price, like the odds on a football game, isn't some random thing. It's the result of lots of people who know lots of stuff you don't know, offering other people the chance to make a bet. You might think you know more than the market, but you better ask yourself what you know that the market doesn't. Because the market knows a huge amount. But, and there is another but, the market is not an omniscient god. It never knows everything.
Nobody could ever really figure out the true odds because there's, at the end of the day, an oblong ball bouncing around. There's many humans who are participating both physically and mentally. It's as opposed to, say, chess or Go.
Sports gambling is not like chess. The real world is never that predictable. In sports gambling, just like in life, you can never know the true odds. You're always just making your best guess. The difference with sports gambling is you have this thing called the house, the bookie, who sees the best price someone else will make him, and then makes you an even worse one.
So by far the most important skill, yeah, is meticulous price shopping.
Okay.
That is the most important sports betting skill, full stop.
By price shopping, he means finding the sports bookie who takes the smallest cut. You'll always start with the odds stacked against you. But if the bookie's only taking 5%, you'll go broke more slowly than if the bookie is taking 15%, as FanDuel and DraftKings do on their three-legged parlays. Ed and Matt offer up a bunch of practical tips for the young sports gambler. Gamble on less popular sports, for instance. With fewer fans following what's going on, it's easier to find useful information that no one else knows. But before you go off and investigate the Russian Rugball Championships, they offer a warning. Even the Russian Rugball Championships are going to be very hard to beat. Whatever you think you know about some sport is highly unlikely to give you enough of an edge against the bookie. Yet people do not get this. That's maybe what Ed and Matt find most perplexing about this boom in online sports gambling.
My son, he's 8. I have an 8-year-old who can't watch a sporting event without becoming convinced that everybody knows who's like going to win or that everybody can beat sports betting just by picking teams. I've been teaching him actual gambling. I've been teaching him sports gambling. He was starting to think that
unlearn what he's seeing on TV, that
he could pick the winner because, look, everybody else can.
Right.
The marketing of sports gambling is teaching bad mental habits. Every time my own son turns on his TV or computer, some celebrity spokesman is trying to make him even less aware of his own limitations than he naturally is. He's going to learn humility the hard way, by losing. I was counting on this.
So now we're up $1,000, or more like 970 or something. But I think I want to bet everything I own now.
When my producers checked in on Tom and Walker a few days into our experiment, I expected them to find chaos and contrition. Instead, they found an even bigger pile of money.
How does it feel to kind of start off on a win streak? And your situation now, like what's going on?
Oh yeah, so every family dinner, it's the exact same time that the US Olympics are going on. So I'll be like betting at the dinner table, or I'll put in a bet and then I'll be watching it the entire time and refreshing my feed. I got like gambling fever at the dinner table and my sister is visibly upset and yeah, no one likes it. And I think they're jealous. They're like, oh, He's up like 1.5K. I can't do that, you know? And my dad is like kind of uneasy because he's like, oh God, this is like my fault. I've got him into this. And he's every time I make a bet or every time I talk about making a bet, he talks about how I probably should have lost basically. Or not that, but he argues back at it. He's like, well, this is blah, 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 blah. This is wrong because blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, the only time I've been wrong was today. I made a dumb bet, and I lost us $100, but it's okay.
The same thing's happening at my house. My brother's getting mad at me, and my girlfriend was getting really mad at me because I was always on my phone. She got mad at me because I was checking my phone when I was driving. Dumped it down the record.
Y'all need to be safe. I'm sorry.
They were like, you need to stop me on the phone all the time.
In any masterclass, there should be this one breakout session. You discuss the effects of your sports gambling on your friends and family. If you gamble on sports, you can't do much about your odds against the bookies, but you can torpedo your odds of ever having a girlfriend. Walker and Tom already sort of know this. Every teenage boy has spent lots of his childhood on screens, while surrounded by people shouting at him to get off his screens. they're as prepared as two young men ever were to cope with the fallout from a life of sports gambling. Anyway, they started out on this freakish winning streak. Our whole family had gone to Paris for the Summer Olympics. Then Walker and I took a bus for 3 hours to Lille to catch the USA basketball team playing Serbia. It was the first Olympic basketball game I'd ever seen in person, and it was fascinating. When you put a dozen superstars on one team, weird things tend to happen. But Walker barely noticed any of it because he was on his phone, gambling.
I got the over and the under. If it's under 184, I make 900.
Another three. Oh, my God.
If it's under 184, I make 950,000 flip coins. If it's over, I lose 83,000.
How come you just said, I hope they stop trying?
Well, there's 3 minutes left, and USA has obviously won. I think just to preserve the players' health, there's no need to continue trying.
How do you feel about your bets? Do you think they were smart bets?
I think they were perfect bets. I'm not even worried.
The algorithm seems smarter than you.
No, that's not true. I knew what I was doing.
You could actually lose both bets.
I could lose. If it hits 185, I lose both. That's not going to happen, though.
He's bet the over and the under. But as Captain Jack had told him, no one really likes to root for things not happening. And now Walker's stuck doing it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I swear to God, if anybody shoots the ball, I'm going to lose my phone. Thank God, LeBron. You're old. No. Fuck.
It appears his bets didn't work out.
That's the sound of a sick man. That's a sound made by a sick, sick man.
I'd already said too much. Anything more would only make it worse.
I'm the best fucking gambler there is.
If what we're talking about is sports bets made by my son.
Okay.
And he's made 8 sports bets.
Right.
And 5 of them have come out. He's come out successfully. He's won.
Right.
How confident should he be that he's a really good sports bettor?
He should not be confident.
Joe Harden, statistics professor at Pomona College, a member of a growing movement in California to add stats to the high school curriculum. Because without a basic grasp of the subject, human beings are easy meat for many predators in modern life, including sports gambling companies.
5 out of 8 is your data value, is your sample value.
Right.
And we're trying to say, is 5 out of 8, a good measure of the value that's going to be over your lifetime? So it doesn't really matter how good he is internally. He's probably not going to end up making much money.
So what is it in the young male mind that it causes it to say, I'm 3 for 3. Yeah, this industry might be really hard for other people, but I'm good at it. I'm not like other people. What's going on there?
I mean, we're all like that, right?
Which is why statistics are so essential, both in gambling and in life. Stats gives you the tools to reason from evidence instead of constantly spinning dubious stories to yourself. An education in statistics makes you aware that the world's probabilistic, that total certainty is idiotic, that the most any of us will ever be is less uncertain.
One of the other big things that I think is really important is sometimes it's called confusion of the inverse, and it's about conditional probability. So if I ask you, what is the probability that, given that you play in the NBA, what is the probability that you're 6 feet tall? And I don't know the actual, it's like 95, 96%, right? 96% of the guys who play in the NBA are at least 6 feet tall.
Yep.
But then I turn that question around and I say, given that you are above 6 feet tall, what is the probability that you play in the NBA?
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's basically zero, right? So that confusion paradox, and we see in all sorts of fields.
How do we apply this to sports gambling?
Maybe like, given that you win, what's the probability that you know what you're doing? And given that you know what you're doing, what's the probability that you win?
That's it.
That's it, right? Because given that you win, there's going to be a lot of false positives. There's going to be a lot of people who just randomly win.
That was Walker and Tom. They're still up a bunch of money, riding high on false positives. I think they sort of knew it. But sort of knowing, it's very different from feeling it. I wanted them to feel it. And soon enough, they did.
This year at Pushkin, we've been able to work with some of the world's biggest brands on creating bespoke content. Whether it's a custom episode in partnership with a brand or a creative ad campaign, we want to be sure that our content reaches people. But the ad space is incredibly noisy. How do we ensure our content reaches the right audience? That's where LinkedIn ads come in. With LinkedIn ads, you can precisely reach professionals who are more likely to find your ad relevant, as you will have direct access to a billion members, 130 million decision makers, and 10 million C-level executives. You can target your audience by job title, industry, company, and more, ensuring your ads reach the right people for your business. Start building the right relationships and reach your audience in a respectful environment with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next LinkedIn ads campaign. Go to linkedin.com/Malcolm to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/Malcolm. Terms and conditions apply.
Bad credit can lead to a lot of no's. Buying a new house, car, applying for rewards cards. Kickoff can turn them into yeses. If your credit is under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. Kickoff is the best way to build credit fast. No credit checks, no hidden fees, and no interest. It's simple. Kickoff optimizes key credit factors. Credit bureaus see good behavior, and your credit grows fast. Start building credit now for only $1 for your first month at getkickoff.com/iHeartPodcast. That's kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/iHeartPodcast. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/iHeartPodcast to activate offer. Offer applies to new customers first month only, subject to approval. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Point stat based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0. Changes for kickoff users starting under 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Individual results may vary.
Trust isn't just earned. It's demanded. Whether you're a startup founder navigating your first audit or a seasoned security professional scaling your GRC program, proving your commitment to security has never been more critical or more complex. That's where Vanta comes in. Businesses use Vanta to establish trust by automating compliance needs over 35 frameworks, like SOC 2 and ISO 27001, centralized security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk. Vanta can help you start or scale your security program by connecting you with auditors and experts to conduct your audit and set up your security program quickly. Plus, with automation and AI throughout the platform, Vanta gives you time back so you can focus on building your company. Join over 9,000 global companies like Atlassian, Quora, and Factory who use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special for $1,000 off.
All right, so last night I made a 2-leg parlay against Walker's suggestions and against everything I've read online saying the parlays are bad, but I felt like I had to do it to make up for the lost money, so we'll see if it pays out.
Hello. I'm at dinner again, and I just placed the dumbest bet of my life. I bet the over 30, or the USA wins by over 30 point spread. The minus 30 on the point spread for USA. And I put $100 on it because of the daily limit on my debit card.
The losses follow the gains as surely as winter follows fall. When they won, they thought they were sharp. Best gamblers in the world. When they lost, they didn't know what to think. So instead, they just felt and turned whatever they were feeling about themselves onto others.
How do you pitch? How do you strike out 7 and then decide not to strike out 6? You're at 2? God. Pull them. Honestly. Okay, let's talk strategy for like the next bet, because we need to make this back. We need to be on the come up now.
Do you think we could probably make $600 in one bet?
We could.
I bet you we could be slightly less. No. We can't. No. Never mind. Let's not try to do it in one bet. That's a dumb idea.
Okay.
This is how people start losing money.
I agree.
Like most people, these two weren't constrained by some process. Because like most people, they didn't really have a process, as LJ found during one of her regular check-ins.
Oh my God, they can only score 10 points now in 4 minutes? Yeah, no, LJ, I've actually lost.
They have to score 10 points? Or they can only score 10 points? They're not going to score 10 points in 4 minutes.
Yeah, they will.
Literally how?
These guys are running up and down the court. On my own, I've scored 10 points in 4 minutes. Like, it's not hard. Two teams who are at a professional level, swear to God, if they don't play the best fucking defense of their life, I'm going to lose my shit. We do like a 1 month later thing. Like, you know, in movies where it's like, where are they now?
Yeah.
Walker lost all of his money and just don't know where he is because he's like currently homeless.
No.
Somewhere in the SF area. Like, I live in the sewers now.
I think you might win this. I think you could win this, Walker.
LJ, I think you're really, really wrong. I actually have 100% lost this.
It's interesting that you're just watching the score. Like, you're not even watching the game. Like, you're so beyond that.
No, God damn it. How did I let that happen? What is wrong with me?
Well, good luck. I'm going to go have breakfast.
Free of shame and guilt. You didn't just lose $1,000.
Yeah, that's true.
People pay way too much attention to winners. Winners get books written about them. Winners are constantly being asked to explain how they won. Winners get really good at making other people feel they know something. But losers have more to teach us. Losers have suffered. Only when you have lost have you experienced the deep reality of sports gambling.
I can't believe that just happened. Oh my God. I lost like $100 because I pressed the wrong button. Or maybe I lost $500 like an idiot. Oh, that was so dumb.
That's the reality of this new industry. It's not good for you. But it's easy to ignore that fact because we've accepted a wider frame and gotten too used to saying okay to industries that are a lot like it.
I was working in a pretty benign, like, ad tech job, deciding which ads people saw on Expedia or what have you, some kind of travel website.
That's Kathy O'Neill. My son was chasing his losses, but I was still hunting for the final piece of my masterclass.
But I realized quickly that the kinds of predictions I was making, which were not that different from predicting markets, were really profiling people by wealth, by gender, and by race, and sort of making lucky people luckier and unlucky people unluckier.
Back in 2007, Kathy had gone from being a math professor at Barnard to working on Wall Street, where she saw the way math was used to hide the risks that led to the financial crisis. The traders' bonuses were based on the profit they made, divided by the risk they were taking. By hiding the risk, they raised their bonuses. They also orchestrated a disaster for ordinary people. Kathy became disillusioned. She quit her job and went to work at an online advertising firm.
And I was like, wait, here I am again. What happened? Like, how did I get here? Like, I'm yet again, like, making the world worse. So this time I was like, I'm not doing this again. I'm going to tell the public, like, what's happening.
She wrote a book called Weapons of Math Destruction about the ways people who are good at math use it to disguise the exploitation of people who aren't.
When I wrote it, the reception was mixed. You know, some people were like, holy crap, like, this really makes me understand my work in insurance much more, and I'm much more worried about it, you know? So there are a lot of people who were, I think, rightly concerned. But there were a lot of people who were like, I can't believe, you know, you've betrayed us. You know, there's a kind of notion that we nerds are supposed to sort of keep the secrets of other nerds.
Those secrets described in Kathy's book are hidden in code that the companies on the other side of your business don't want you to think too much about. It isn't just how Google serves you ads. It's how your credit is scored, your insurance is priced, and your job application is handled. Now it's also how your new sports gambling habit is managed. The ads lead you to the apps, and the apps coax you to behave in certain ways without making it clear what they're doing or why.
How would you think about the algorithms, about designing algorithms to take advantage of these people? What kind of things would you build into the algos?
Well, it depends on how you're trying to take advantage of them, right? If you're trying to take advantage of people who are addicted to gambling, then you get somehow you get money back if you've lost, but it's not really money. It's just many more opportunities to bet. And that's exactly the kind of thing you would do if you just wanted to make sure you hook somebody. And you might even lose a little bit of money as a business, but if you hook a statistically large proportion of people that way, then in the long term, you're making a lot more money off of people's addictions.
And the beauty of it is how impersonal it is. No individual ever needs to acknowledge what they're doing. The sports gambling industrial complex is just another A-B testing machine with a mind of its own.
They try out a bunch of things and see what works the best. Let's say, let's try to get people to bet on the Red Sox with green letters, and also let's try the same exact words, but let's try it with red letters and see which ones they're more likely to click on. And the answer is going to be red letters. Now we know what letters, what about the font, what about the background, what about the pictures, what about exactly what words we use. And you're just constantly, you're pummeling the audience with that. But moreover, you're pummeling different audiences with different things because you've profiled different audiences to be vulnerable to different messages. So not just the who's the home team, but like how addicted are you and how much money do you have and what is your favorite type of betting? So they'll keep track of all those things and they will micro-target your vulnerabilities.
So it's taking your past behavior and your response to past stimuli to try to manage.
Right. It doesn't have to be you. People like you. So it's going to divide you into like a little granular pot and then say, okay, everyone we've seen like you responds to ads like this. And this is how we make the most money from people like you.
And in the case of sports betting, it's to manage my behavior so that I maximize my losses.
And it's fair to say they're not just trying to predict your future. They're trying to condition you into a future, right? It's like you should think of yourself as a dog that's being trained with treats. Because that's how they think about it. They like will give you a little treat in order to keep you interested. It's like, yeah, you're a dog at a dog park. I'm just throwing that in to make it as humiliating as possible because it really is actually humiliating. It's intentionally so.
All right. How do I train my son to be a bad dog?
Right.
How do I train my, and really, how do I train him to be a bad dog?
The best way to avoid conditioning is to walk away from, like to say that treat doesn't work on me.
That's when it hit me. That's what I hope Walker would learn. To be untrainable. To leap over the fence and run away from the dog park. That would be the big takeaway of my masterclass. Not something sharp about sports betting. More of a feeling about how to live your life so other people aren't leading you to live it for them. My experiment, such as it was, blew up just a couple of weeks after it started. Not in the way I'd expected, though. I'd assumed that Walker and Tom would eventually just set fire to my $5,000. And then we'd all stand around and stare at the flames and figure out how dumb that was. Instead, they started out winning right off the bat. They then hit a cold streak and panicked. And then Tom made this crazy flurry of bets, winning bets. In a flash, without anyone knowing why, they went from losing money to winning $3,500, all in secret. Until LJ got Tom to confess his source.
So your brother found a guy on Discord who works at Taco Bell who was giving you advice on bets that you made, that you won, all those bets that you placed?
Yeah, basically.
And that's why you think you were winning?
I mean, that's why it doesn't make any sense to me. I think that, there's a great amount of luck in it. It has to be.
So, like, what do you think you learned?
I mean, I learned that it's possible to beat in the short term, but I don't know how much it's luck or skill.
LJ put the same question to Walker, who knew that they had broken Captain Jack's first rule of sports betting. Don't listen to some random dude who works at Taco Bell on a Discord chat.
Why do you think you guys won?
Has already said this?
The Discord, the guy, the Taco Bell guy?
Yep. I didn't know if we were sharing that or not. Yeah. So, yeah, we just, I guess, outsourced our problems.
Not a straight answer to LJ's question. But a few days later, Walker and I were driving someplace. I asked him all casual-like, "So what's your next bet?" And he said, "I am done with sports gambling." "What do you mean you're done with sports gambling?" I asked. And he said, "I pulled all the money out of the account so Tom can't bet either." He'd split the winnings with Tom and send me back my $5,000. He'd jumped the fence and left the dog park.
I want to know why you decided to stop betting at all.
I noticed that as much as I won, I also managed to lose just as much, just slightly less, I guess. But something I realized, if you'd like, in a really short form way of saying this is anybody can win, but everybody's going to lose.
Anybody can win, but everybody's going to lose. That's about as perfect a summary of our entire season as I can think of.
So why do you think, I mean, everybody should be able to see this. Like, it's set up to lose, but people do it anyway. Why do you think people do get sucked in, and why do you think you didn't?
I think this is no hate to any gamblers out there, but I don't think you'd have enough gratifying things going on to sustain sustain your attention. Like, I have a few hobbies that I just like can't get enough of. I make music, so when I'd finish a song, that would remain in my like downloads folder that I could go and return to. But like, all you're doing is losing.
What'd you do with the money you won?
I bought a surfboard, I bought a wetsuit, I'm a little bit ashamed, but I bought a gaming PC, and I bought, what else did I buy? I bought a bunch of plugins for music, which is just like synthesizers online.
Did you think I was a bad dad for having you do it?
No. Yeah, that was stupid. It was stupid of you to do. But I'm glad you did it. It's not good or evil. It's just like, wasn't a good idea. It worked out. We got lucky.
Against the Rules is written and hosted by me, Michael Lewis, and produced by Lydia Jean Cott, Catherine Girardeau, and Ariella Markowitz. Our editor is Julia Barton. Our engineer is Jake Gorski. Our music was composed by Matthias Bossi and John Evans of Stellwagen Symphonette. Our fact checker is Lauren Vespoli. Against the Rules is a production of Pushkin Industries. Special thanks to a few more folks who made this season of Against the Rules possible: Jacob Weisberg, Greta Cohn, Sarah Nix, Christina Sullivan, Carrie Brody, Eric Sandler, Kira Posey, Jordan McMillan, Jake Flanagan, Owen Miller, Sarah Bruguer, Jacob Goldstein, and Sophie Crane. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to listen ad-free and learn about other exclusive offerings, don't forget to sign up for a Pushkin Plus subscription at pushkin.fm/plus or on our Apple show page.
Did you learn anything about yourself that surprised you?
Well, like in the back of my head, there's a bit of a tug. It's like being pulled toward betting, basically. And I now know that I can like kind of control that, which is surprising.
You learned that you have like a self-control that you didn't know that you had, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice. I feel a little bit more like confident in myself to make good decisions, which is nice.
Sometimes getting better is harder than getting sick. Waiting on hold for an appointment, standing in line at the pharmacy, the whole healthcare system can feel like a headache. Amazon One Medical and Amazon Pharmacy are changing that. Get convenient virtual care 24/7 with Amazon One Medical and have your prescriptions delivered right to your door with Amazon Pharmacy, No more lines, no more hassles. Just affordable, fast care. Thanks to Amazon Pharmacy and Amazon One Medical, healthcare just got less painful. Learn more at health.amazon.com.
I was coming home from work. It was my birthday. Car hit us, lost control, and crashed into the bridge wall. Back was hurting my chest, everything. I mean, I thought I was going to die right there. So I'm glad I got to call Jim Adler. Everything went smooth. He helped me pay my truck off, took care of everything that had to be taken care of with the medical and everything. I mean, all my bills are paid. Jim Adler is a Texas Hammer.
If the insurance company is giving you a rough time, call me, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer. Let me rough them up for you.
214-817-320-1111.
Principal office, Houston, Texas.
So, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, just took the Tacoma off-road, deep into the woods, got to this hidden campsite only it could reach.
Nice. I hooked up the boat to the Tundra and hit up the lake. Towed it like a pro. Had the whole lake to ourselves.
Hey, wait, did I mention I went rock climbing too? Uh-huh, yeah, thanks to the Tacoma's crawl control.
Well, sounds like we both had fun weekends.
Mine was better.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are built for all the fun. Test drive at your local Toyota dealer or visit toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places. Feature availability differs based on trim. See Toyota.com for details.